Once in love with Amy, always in love with Amy, ever and ever fascinated by her, sets your heart afire to stay. Once you're kissed by Amy, tear up your list, it's Amy. Ply her with bonbons, poetry and flowers, moon a million hours away. You might be quite the fickle-hearted rover, so carefree and bold, who tells himself it's over and it's over, just quits cold. But once in love with Amy, always in love with Amy, ever and ever sweetly or romantic, trouble is the answer will be that Amy'd rather stay in love with me.
Frank Sings Lesser. The man, the voice, the chuckle which says this is a little something I prepared earlier. The little something was a peach of a take-home song from Lesser's first Broadway show, Where's Charlie? A musical reworking of Brandon Thomas's classic English farce, Charlie's Aunt. Ray Bolger, whose Scarecrow in The Wizard of Oz won so many hearts, starred. And since he was loved more for his charm and his fancy footwork than his voice, you can't help but hear the soft shoe shuffle in Frank's rendition of it. Once in Love with Amy was one of those songs where you felt the lyric dictated the tune. Initially, Lesser wrote just lyrics, but nobody, it became clear, nobody could write his tunes. Frank Lesser was born in 1910 and died far too young in 1969. His family was musical. His father taught it. His brother was a pianist and critic. But Frank rejected formal training to teach himself. And maybe that, above all, was what made him such an unorthodox songwriter. He broke all the rules of engagement. I mean, who else could have combined classical form and conversational slang in an opening number? A three-part round for racing pundits. This is how you sing Damon Runyon.
I got the horse right here, the name is Paul Revere, and here's a guy that says if the weather's clear, can do, this guy says the horse can do, if he says the horse can do, can do.
I pick him Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9.
But there's an epitaph, he wins it by a half, according to this here and that telegraph.
A Paul Revere, I'll fight, I hear his sports all right. Of course it all depends if it rained last night.
I know it's Valentine, cause on the morning line, the guy has got him figured at 5 to 9.
But just a minute, boys, I got some beatbox noise. Says the great grandfather was equipoised.
I tell you, Paul Revere, now this is no bum steer. It's from a handicapper that's real sincere.
I know it's Valentine, the morning works look fine. You know the jockey's brother's a friend of mine.
So make an epitaph, he wins it by a half, according to this here and that telegraph. Epitaph,
Valentine, I got the horse.
In the pantheon of great musicals, Guys and Dolls is a one-off. Was there ever a score which slipped so effortlessly into the vernacular? No. This delicious fable from the seamy underbelly of New York City is not just Runyon-esque. It's like his characters just came up with their own material. Actually, fast-talking Lesser was a bit of a Runyon character himself. Like Sky Masterson, his time of day was around 3 a.m. when he'd empty the ashtray, mix himself a double martini, and start writing.
My time of day is the dark time, a couple of deals before dawn. when the street belongs to the cop and the janitor with a mop and the grocery clerks are all gone. When the smell of the rain-washed pavement comes up clean and fresh and cold, and the street lamp light fills the gutter with gold. That's my time of day, my time of day, and you're the only doll I've ever wanted to share it with me.
What kind of melody is that? Wayward, unpredictable, a jazz riff in search of a song? But lesser melodies are always more. In lesser songs, people don't just sing as they speak as they feel.
At a glance by the two pair of pants.
I know by his calm, steady voice, by his feet on the ground. I know as I run to his arms that at last I've come home safe and sound. Until then, I shall wait.
Sally Army Doll, Sarah Brown's lovely ballad from Guys and Dolls, originated in the original Broadway production by Lesser's choice of shining soprano, Isabel Bigley. The Runyon story, the idyll of Sarah Brown, is the hub of Abe Burrows' book. Skye Masterson's bet that he can score with the Save a Soul Mission's leading light and whisk her off to Havana is the evening's big will he, won't he. The other is whether the 14-year engagement of compulsive gambler Nathan Detroit to hotbox nightclub performer Miss Adelaide will ever result in marriage. That elusive band of gold is proving to be something of a health hazard for the increasingly impatient Adelaide. But has an impacted sinus ever sounded more adorable?
Ka-choo!
It says here in this book, the average unmarried female, basically insecure, due to some long frustration, may react with psychosomatic symptoms difficult to endure, affecting the upper respiratory tract. In other words, just from waiting around for that plain little band of gold, a patient can develop a cold. You could spray her wherever you figure the streptococci like. You can give her a shot for whatever she's got, but it just won't work if she's tired of getting that fish eye from the hotel clique. A patient can develop a cold.
Guys and Dolls was adored by critics and public alike. It swept the 1951 Tony Awards and ran for 1,200 performances on Broadway and nearly 600 in London. Its biggest showstopper, and there are several, comes in the final scene when Nicely Nicely Johnson almost persuades us that his low-life cronies are good and ready to ascend to the moral high ground. This isn't just a stonking sing-along crowd-pleaser. It's the closest a Broadway song ever came to a revivalist hymn.
I dreamed last night
I got on the boat to heaven, and by some chance I had brought my dice along. And there I stood, and I hollered, "Someone fade me." But the passengers, they knew right from wrong. For the people all said, sit down, you're rocking a boat.
People all said, sit down, you're rocking a boat.
And the devil will drag you under by the sharp lapel of your checkered coat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down,
sit down, you're rocking a boat.
I sailed away on that little boat to heaven, and by some chance found a bottle in my fist. And there I stood nicely passing out the whiskey, but the passengers were bound to resist. For the people all said, beware,
all said,
you're
beware
on a heavenly trip.
Beware.
People all said, beware,
all said,
beware,
beware
your scuttler ship. And the devil will drag you under by the fancy tie round your wicked throat. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking a boat. And as I laughed at those passengers to heaven, a great big wave came and washed me overboard. And as I sank and I hollered, "Someone save me," that's the moment I woke up. Thank the Lord. And I said to myself, sit down, you're rocking a boat. I said to myself, sit down, you're rocking a boat. And the devil will drag you under with a soul so heavy you'd never float. Sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking a boat.
Sit down, you're rocking, sit down, sit down, sit down, you're rocking a boat.
Nobody stayed seated when Stubby K was on, but this boat was always going to rock. I lost count of the encores when Clive Rowe wowed us with that number in London's National Theatre Revival of 1982. What more can one say about Guys and Dolls, except to quote Frank himself? Call it sad, call it funny, but it's better than even money that the guy's only doing it for some doll. That'll do nicely. If Guys and Dolls was Lesser's masterpiece, The Most Happy Fellow was undoubtedly his most ambitious, his most prodigious work. One critic wrote that he wished Lesser had written 6 shows in the 6 years after Guys and Dolls, instead of packing all his energies into one. It was a biggie, all right. Huge cast, orchestra of 36, and some 35 listed numbers, many of them merely extensions of sung dialogue, some built on little more than a phrase, a thought, an idea. Others were soulful, fully-fledged arias, like this next one. But Lesser had strong opinions about how his songs should be sung. He once said to his first wife, Lynn, who his friends unkindly described as the evil of two Lessers, that singers are inclined to vocalise beyond the sense of the lyric, just like ham actors. "Don't sustain notes, any notes," he said. "I don't care if it's grand opera you're doing, there's a point at which it stops making sense. Remember to tell the story and let God take care of the tones." Well, we know what he meant, and so did his second wife, Jo Sullivan. Joe Sullivan as Amy, or as Tony Esposito, the most happy fella of the title, knows her, Rosabella, the girl of his dreams. He's an Italian immigrant worker from a vineyard in the Napa Valley, and secretly he's fallen in love with Amy whilst eating in the diner where she waits tables. She hasn't noticed him because he's not the sort of man you would notice. He's ordinary and middle-aged. But he leaves her a love letter, written in broken English and sealed with an amethyst tie-pin. Flattered and intrigued, she replies. But when she asks for a photo, Tony panics and sends a picture of a handsome co-worker, just to keep the romance alive. The plot will thicken. Meanwhile, back in the Napa Valley, four of Tony's friends are pursuing their favourite pastime.
Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Brother, you don't know a nicer occupation. Matter of fact, neither do I. Then standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by. I'm the cat that got the cream. Haven't got a girl, but I can dream. Haven't got a girl, but I can wish. So I take me down a main street, and that's where I select my imaginary dish. Standing on the corner, watching all the girls go by. Standing on the corner, giving all the girls the eye. Brother, if you've got a rich imagination, give it a whirl, give it a try. Try standing on the corner, watching all the girls, watching all the girls, watching all the girls go by.
Standing on the corner, the really big hit, a number one chart topper actually, from Frank Lesser's The Most Happy Fella. This was his richest and most stylistically varied score. It was fashioned on a grand scale, an operatic scale. But there's a difference between operatic and opera. As the show's orchestrator Don Walker put it, this is musical comedy expanded, not opera cut down. Lesser went further. It's not a play with music, it's not an opera, and let no one mention folk opera. It's a musical with a lot of music and a lot of heart. The greatest comedy writer in the history of Broadway always fretted about not being a serious romantic composer. When Abe Burrows praised him for the humour in Most Happy Fella, Lesser shot back, "The hell with that, Abe. Tell me where I made you cry." Right here.
My heart is so full of you, so full of you. It's got no room for anything more in there. Rosabella, you make me a man, crazy on fire.
There is no room,
crazy with love,
for anything more,
crazy with love. A song of Montanto, song of Montanto, to love is all accord. And my heart is so full of you, so full of you.
My heart is so full of you from Lesser's The Most Happy Fella, a show so full of music that it makes other shows of the period seem positively anorexic. In 1952, Lesser's first Broadway musical, Where's Charlie, became a movie. And in that same year, another movie with Lesser songs promised the whole world a second childhood. Its star was Lesser's inspiration. He made people laugh, but wasn't really a comedian. He danced, but wasn't really a dancer. He could imitate any and everybody, but wasn't really an impressionist. He sang and made hit records, but wasn't really a singer. He wasn't really just about everything, including this chap.
I'm Hans Christian Andersen, I've many a tale to tell. And though I'm a cobbler, I'd say I tell them rather well. I'll mend your shoes and I'll fix your boots when I have a moment free. When I'm not otherwise occupied as a purple duck or a mountainside or a quarter after three. I'm Hans Christian Andersen, Andersen, that's me.
The one and only Danny Kaye, who was everything and more that Lesser looked for in a singer-performer. Together, they immortalised every single song in the movie. There wasn't a single one that a whole generation didn't grow up with. There wasn't a place they didn't reach.
Were fire bright, and then I knew that my path must be through the ever haunted night. Anywhere I wander, anywhere
one day a brand new stage version of Hans Christian Andersen will reunite the world with songs like that. And so to another imaginary place far, far off the beaten track. The town of Green Willow is home to a restless loner bearing a striking resemblance to one Norman Bates, whose mother, if you remember that Hitchcock film, had a strange way of welcoming guests to the family motel. Did you know she could hold a tune?
Is the music of home, the music of home, full of wonder as angel song. All the music of home, the music of home, singing home is where I
Well, Frank Lesser didn't make it easy for his fledgling musical theatre star, Anthony Perkins. In that typically audacious Lesser melody, The Music of Home, he stretched the octave to a ninth, conveying at a stroke the wayward spirit of the Perkins character, Gideon Briggs. Like Lesser himself, Gideon went his own way, desperate to settle down, but unable to curb his wanderlust. His music could scarcely better convey the conflict raging within him. And again, the candor of the words dictate where the music should go.
An any flimsy dimsy looking for true love. Better smile me no good dearie good day. Any flimsy dimsy looking for true love. Better look her looking some other way. For my kiss can be no evermore promise, but a fancy dancy fiddle and free. Any flimsy dimsy looking for true love. Better waste no time, no time on me. Never, never will I marry. Never, never will I wed. Born to wander solitary, wide my world, narrow my bed. Never, never, never will I marry. Born to wander till I'm dead.
Put simply, Lesser sounds like no one else. And nor did Anthony Perkins. Green Willow was a kind of organic, low-fat brigadoon and could not have prepared anyone for the big hit which followed. Lesser, predictably unpredictable, leapt from rural complacency to corporate greed in a single number.
How to apply for a job. How to advance from the mailroom. How to sit down at a desk. How to take memorandums, how to develop executive style, how to commute in a three-button suit with that weary executive smile. This book is all that I need. How to succeed. How to observe personnel. How to select whom to lunch with. How to avoid petty friends. How to begin making contacts. How to walk into a conference room with an idea, brilliant business idea, that will make your expense account zoom. This book is all that I need. How to succeed.
Well, there's the show set up in just over a minute, and it's a head start for J. Pierpont Finch, whose well-thumbed handbook, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying, takes him from window cleaner to chairman of the board before you can finish saying the title. It took a lot of persuasion to get Lesser on board for this mischievous big business satire. Even the presence of book writer A. Burroughs, Lesser's old sparring partner from Guys and Dolls, was not enough to have him sign on the dotted line. But he came round. The show was made for him. His wily charm, sharp tongue, quirky, insidiously memorable tunes were the sting in the tail it needed. How to Succeed was Lesser's most successful Broadway show. It played for more performances than any of his others. It cleaned up at the award ceremonies and won the Pulitzer Prize for Drama. And it contained the most original marriage proposal in the history of the Broadway musical.
Suddenly there is music in the sound of your name. Was the melody locked inside me till at last out it came? Rosemary, Rosemary, just imagine if we kissed, what a crescendo! Thank you.
not to be missed.
Frank Lesser, with a little help from Edvard Grieg, making sweet music for Finch and his wife-to-be, Rosemary. And of course she'll love him whether he's a window cleaner or chairman of the board. We know that from the minute she sets eyes on him. But what of Finch? It's time to take that long, hard look in the mirror. Calling the executive washroom.
Hello, executive washroom. Oh, come on down. We're here making plans.
Gotta stop that man. I gotta stop that man. Cold, or he'll stop me. Big deal, big rocket. Thinks he has the world in his pocket. Gotta stop, gotta stop, gotta stop that man.
Oh, look at him standing there staring at himself in the mirror.
Now there you are. Yes, there's that face. That face that somehow I trust. It may embarrass you to hear me say it, but say it I must, say it I must. You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and that grin of impetuous youth. Oh, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Self-belief or monstrous ego? There you have it, the moral dilemma at the heart of this devilish tale of deception and counter-deception. What price success? Frank Lesser made no compromises for his. The great ones rarely do. He always insisted that he didn't write for posterity, that he was an entertainer for the here and now. But the tunes, in all their skewed, crazy, dazzling originality, lingered. And some have been on everyone's lips ever since.
There,
we're
in
the
you proud to be in that fraternity,
the great big brother of man.
No kidding, is there really a brotherhood?
Yes, sure, brotherhood.